Fester, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest for today, Bob Fitrakis, will be joining us for the second hour to talk about the relationship between the election and the reality when it comes to voters' preferences. And I'm going to prepare for that by explaining to you why it appears to me that the plan is already well advanced to steal this election for John McCain, principally using these absurd machines that can be programmed to do anything in districts where there's no voting trail, and then to use the unrest that is inevitably going to follow the public protests and so forth to create a volatile situation that the administration, Bush, will declare to be beyond ordinary control, to suspend the Constitution and declare martial law. It's never been more obvious to me that this is what is going on than today when I reviewed a number of articles for publication on 9/11 Scholars website, where I've been maintaining a section devoted to headlines and to featured articles ever since I created the site in February of 2006. And I must tell you, things have been happening so quickly that I haven't been able to do my usual summary and condensation. So I've been, now I'm on the verge of posting a lot of articles with their own summaries rather than mine. But I want to read some and tell you why I have arrived at this very pessimistic conclusion and why I'm actually convinced this is what's going to happen. Here's an article by Bob Herbert, The Real Scandal, an op-ed piece from the New York Times. The real threat to democracy is the nonstop campaign by the GOP and its supporters to disenfranchise American citizens who have every right to cast a ballot. From the Rolling Stone, It's Already Stolen, by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Greg Palast. According to an investigative report out today in Rolling Stone magazine, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Greg Palast have a year-long investigation reveal a systematic program of GOP vote tampering on a massive scale. I should mention as an aside that I understand they've already determined that this is going to be this narrow victory campaign. Do you remember something coming from McCain's people saying they were having a narrow victory scenario? I think the predetermined figure is going to be 51.3. Make-believe Maverick, a closer look at the life and career of John McCain, reveals a disturbing record of recklessness and dishonesty, by Tim Dickinson. That's also Rolling Stone. Here's one you might want to check out: What to Expect When Martial Law is Declared, Coming Soon to a Neighborhood Near You. That's in the aftermathnews.wordpress.com. But that's not the key to what's going on here. Listen to this. Early voters face intimidation, machine malfunctions. Amy Goodman, Democracy Now! Early voting has begun and problems are already emerging in the polls. In West Virginia, voters using touchscreen machines have claimed their votes were switched from Democrat to Republican. In North Carolina, a group of McCain supporters heckled a group of mostly black supporters of Barack Obama. In Ohio, Republicans are being accused of trying to scare newly registered voters by filing lawsuits that question their eligibility. We speak to New York NYU professor Mark Crispin Miller, author of Loser Take All: Election Fraud and the Subversion of Democracy. Here are two more. And this is the most important of them all. Please prepare for post-election unrest. Alexandra Bolton, The Hill. Police departments in cities across the country are beefing up their ranks for Election Day, preparing for possible civil unrest and riots after the historic presidential contest. Public safety officials said in interviews with The Hill that the election, which will end with either the nation's first black president or its first female vice president, demanded a stronger police presence. Democratic strategists and advocates for black voters say they understand police officers wanting to keep the peace, but caution excessive police presence could intimidate voters. I'll come back to that one. Wealth gap creating a social time bomb. John Vidal, The Guardian of the UK, Growing inequality in U.S. citizens could lead to widespread social unrest and increased mortality, says a new United States Nations report on the urban environment. In a survey of 120 major cities, New York was found to be the ninth most unequal in the world, and Atlanta, New Orleans, Washington, and Miami at similar inequality levels to those of Nairobi, Kenya, and Ivory Coast. Many were above an internationally recognized acceptable alert line to warn governments. I repeat to this point about police preparing for post-election unrest. Some worry that if Barack Obama loses and there is suspicion of foul play in the election, violence could ensue in cities with large black populations. Senator Barack Obama, the Democratic nominee for president, sees his lead over rival Senator John McCain grow in recent weeks, prompting speculation there could be a violent backlash if he loses unexpectedly. Well, why in God's name should he lose unexpectedly? There's no reason in the world that they should lose unexpectedly. We have polls going on all over the place that show an increasing lead for Obama across the board, not only nationwide, but in all these states. And I reflect on this in relation to the absurd GOP campaign. And you have to ask yourself, well, something weird is going on here. I mean, today in the local newspaper, this is the Wisconsin State Journal, two very interesting articles. Plumber's tool still a GOP weapon. Ohio, Green Ohio. John McCain's campaign continued to hammer away at Barack Obama's economic plan Wednesday, with Sarah Palin calling him Barack the wealth spreader, while Obama said their attack smelled of desperation. Again invoking Joe the plumber, McCain and Palin reminded a rally of perhaps 15,000 people at a high school football field here that Obama had told the Toledo plumber that he wants to spread the wealth around. Now, I'm going to return to this, but you might well ask on its face, what's wrong with that? Here is even more disturbing, because if you're going to, you know, try to confound people and claim the polls are wrong, then you want them to be inconsistent. McCain draws even in poll, Washington. The presidential race tightened after the final debate, with John McCain gaining ground among whites and people earning less than $50,000, according to an Associated Press, GFK, and I have no idea who is GFK, poll that shows McCain and Barack Obama essentially running even among likely voters in the election home stretch. The poll found Obama at 44% and McCain at 43% after the third debate, as GOP leading voters drifted home to their party and McCain's Joe the Plumber analogy seemed to strike a chord. That's as absurd as it can get. Not only is this very peculiar that it's coming out now, given the time frame in relation to the third debate, but the Joe the Plumber analogy didn't strike home at all, although McCain used it over and over again, citing his name some 29 times during the debate. The focus groups, when asked about its impact, were asked to give a thumb up or a thumbs down, and they all gave thumbs down. They all gave thumbs down. This Associated Press poll is a phony. It's a plant. Stand by. We'll be right back. Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Jim Festa, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch Kevin here on Mondays and Fridays. I am stunned to be now convinced that, in fact, we are confronting the end of America as a constitutional republic. It's going to happen sooner rather than later. It appears to me that the day after the election is the day everything happens. You heard of a before and after in relation to 9/11. Well, I'll tell you right now, there's going to be a before and after in relation to the historic vote on the 4th of November, with it, where the country goes in a landslide. In fact, if all the votes were recorded correctly for Barack Obama, but we're already getting report after report of voter intimidation, voter suppression, phony charges against ACORN, which is a community activist organization for registering voters, which John McCain has grossly exaggerated by suggesting their operation of registering voters, where there's a handful of fake registrations, threatens the very fabric of democracy. I mean, how absurd on its face. And still, so you have to stop and ask yourself, why did this man say this when the evidence is non-existent? In fact, ACORN had itself identified these false registrations. I mean, and Mickey Mouse isn't going to be able to show up and vote just because there's a Mickey Mouse registration. These are young people who don't have a lot of resources, who are making a little extra money because they're paid on the basis of the number of registrations they make. And we're learning these voting machines in state after state now, you press for Obama and it records for McCain. Now, this is happening right in our very, before our very eyes. I say thank God for early voting. Early voting is exposing the chicanery. You have to watch the news. You have to pay attention. It's going on. This is how they are stealing the election. Then they're fortifying the police departments to handle the riots. Why would anyone be planning for riots after an election unless they knew riots would be provoked by the theft of the legitimate result? There is absolutely no reason whatsoever to be planning for riots unless you're stealing the election, and it's going to be overwhelmingly obvious. Anyone who's paid attention to these polls know it's getting more and more obvious that Obama is winning in state after state after state after state. McCain doesn't have a prayer. But behind the scenes, beneath the surface, you have these companies that are owned by zealots who are dedicated to George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, who are going to steal the election. Now, anytime one of these voting machines misbehaves, the machine should be impounded. The Democrats have to get off their duffs, have these lawyers at all these voting precincts where things are going wrong, and impound the machines. You impound enough machines, you put the theft of the election out of business. And hopefully you put those who manufactured them and installed them out of business, too. It has to happen. It must be done starting now. Impound those machines. Vote early. I have already voted. I voted absentee. Nice piece of paper ballot. Fill it all out. Don't even vote straight party. Go down and vote for every single registrant, every single candidate. Even if you would have voted straight party, don't do it. Just vote that way, every single one, so your vote's recorded for every single vote. Now, what's going on here with this guy, the plumber, Joe the Plumber? Joe the Plumber appears to have been a plant. Here's some facts about Joe the Plumber. His actual name isn't even Joe. It's Samuel Joseph Wurzelbacher. Okay? His occupation is supposed to be a plumber, but he's not a licensed plumber. He's not even a licensed plumber. In fact, he's some kind of contractor. He claims to be an independent, but he's actually a registered Republican. He claims his politics are neutral and undecided, but he's actually a right-wing radio regular. He talked about buying this company, and that his income might exceed $250,000, but it's not even actually close. He only makes about $40,000 a year. His boss's business is supposed to be generating, you know, over $250,000. That's why he's asking Obama if he buys the business. Are his taxes going to go up? Because he doesn't think that's right. when in fact it's the company actually makes closer to $100,000. He claimed he was going to buy the business, but there's no plan. The guy isn't selling his business. He's asking whether he's going to increase Joe's taxes. Actually, Obama's plan would reduce his taxes. And he's claiming there's going to be a mandate, that Obama's going to mandate health care, but according to the fact are there is there's no mandate. Obama would be imposing a penalty, but there's no penalty. I say McCain needs a plumber because his campaign is in the toilet. This guy has said other things that are very revealing. Among his saying, Social Security is a joke. That Senator Obama tap dances almost as good as Sammy Davis Jr. This begins to give you some idea of where this guy is coming from. Now, stop and think about it. What's wrong with the Republicans have leaped on this idea of redistributing the wealth? Well, what's wrong with that? In fact, progressive taxation has been a part of the United States government revenue provision for over 100 years. Progressive taxation. What can make more sense than taxing people who have money? And the more money they have, the more they should pay in taxes. What's unreasonable about that? Taxes are the price we pay for civilization. The price we pay for fire departments and police departments and the highways and public education and public hospitals and even the military, the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force. I mean, it's simply absurd to think, you know, if we're not supposed to redistribute the wealth, then we can't have a government because we can't have taxation. Taxation is a redistribution of wealth. That's a basic function of government. So something quite absurd is going on here. Plus, now, of course, you know, we have these people claiming that, Joe the plumber said, this sounded like socialism to him. Socialism to him. Well, what in the world does that mean? Stand by. We'll be right back. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. The Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. I mean, this business about spreading the wealth is simply absurd. That's what governments do. And the idea that, you know, to ridicule that Obama is going to give tax cuts to 95% of the American people by increasing the taxes on those who make more than $250,000, and then having this phony plant come along to try to pose, you know, some kind of objection when he's actually, and I'm convinced he's a plant, is just cynical beyond words. But then again, you know, John McCain's entire conduct here is cynical beyond words. Here's an article in the New York Times from October 20th about spreading the wealth. Toledo, Ohio. In any other year, it would seem routine. Senator John McCain, the Republican nominee for president, is spending the final weeks before the election painting his Democratic rival, Senator Barack Obama, as a quasi-socialist who wants to redistribute the wealth and whose tax cuts are a government giveaway. But it can be a complicated argument in this topsy-turvy year of financial collapse when the government, from the Republican president on down, has seemed to be in the giveaway business and the wealth-spreading business an awful lot of late. There have been taxpayer-financed bailouts of individual businesses and broader interventions like the $700 billion bailout of the financial system, not to mention the Bush administration's move to buy a $250 billion stake in the nation's banks. In the wake of the financial crisis, everyone seems to like some state-directed form of wealth redistribution, including Mr. McCain, who wants to use taxpayer money to buy distressed mortgages and sell them back to homeowners at more affordable rates. I'm going to spend a lot of money to bring relief to you, Mr. McCain, pledged to cheers at a rally here Sunday, just a few minutes after criticizing Mr. Obama for wanting to spread the wealth around. At times, the message sounds a bit mixed. No, not mixed, just grossly cynical. Just playing upon the emotions and not the minds of his listeners. There are two new books out there about the political mind and the political brain that suggest that logic and evidence are not determinative of how voters tend to respond during elections, but that they are far more affected by their emotions and their attitudes. And I say this is a disgusting example. He attacks Obama for wanting to give tax breaks to the rich, but says, because that's supposed to be spreading the wealth, and here he wants to directly give this relief to tax owners by reducing their mortgages, buying distressed mortgages. I mean, how ridiculous. I mean, if you want to claim that, you know, anyone who intervenes, let's talk about some classic definitions here, very roughly, very crudely. If we want to say free market capitalism involves that there's no government regulation or oversight of business or the economy. That's free market capitalism with no restraint. Socialism might involve some government regulation or oversight of business and the economy. Communism, complete government regulation and oversight of business and the economy. And we could gloss these or parse them in various ways, but the point is, going from no regulation or intervention to complete control of the economy, all right, by the government. In this intermediate stage, Lawrence O'Donnell, who's a political commentator from Boston, said, well, the papers don't like to report it, nobody likes to talk about it, but practically every nation in the world has a mixed economy. We've complained a lot here about, you know, corporate welfare. People talk about welfare, but corporate welfare and crony capitalism are massively prevalent. If anyone wants to understand more about what this country is all about, read Naomi Klein's book, The Shock Doctrine, and you'll see how taking advantage of disasters of one kind or another to make money and for political benefit is taking place on a massive scale. In fact, one of the reasons for Katrina appears to have been, and the way it was handled, appears to have been to drive out a massive concentration of black voters from Louisiana, get them distributed to other states. This is a principal reason why it's taken so long. This is all deliberate to repair anything, to turn Louisiana from a blue state to a red state. And, of course, for a lot of developers to get very rich on property that blacks have held in their families for a long, long time. It's all very exploitive. It's all very cynical. It's all very crass, and it goes on before your very eyes, and you don't pay any attention. Well, think about this idea of socialism. McCain's bailout, is he also then opposed to Social Security, to Medicare, to Medicaid, unemployment insurance? I mean, what kind of a man is this John McCain if he's opposed to the government having any redistribution of wealth? Social Security is a redistribution of wealth. Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment insurance. I mean, what kind of a crass, cynical, I mean, the words. And Palin, this is outrageous. Palin is the biggest socialist governor of them all. They get this massive royalty from the oil companies, and they turn around and cut checks for every citizen in Alaska. That's a wealthy redistribution program. That's the government intervening to control the economy and to redistribute wealth. They get $2,000. Every citizen of Alaska gets $2,000 every year, and this year they got an extra $1,200 or $1,500 because the price of oil was so high. So what's going on? This is complete ridiculous nonsense. Redistributing the wealth is fundamental to governments. Unless you're going to attack Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment insurance, and similar programs, you're on board with it. But using the word socialism is inflammatory. It's inflammatory. We have a mixed economy. In fact, our form of capitalism is far from what Adam Smith envisioned. There were several principles that defined markets for Adam Smith. And those included that the price of a product had to include all of the costs involved in producing that product. So all the costs of the natural resources, of the labor, transportation, distribution, advertising, all had to be built in. No hidden costs, all right there in the product. He assumed there were no, you had real competition, there were no monopolies, and that, you know, competition was free and above board, open and above board. And that, you know, there weren't hidden subsidies, the real costs were reflected by the prices, a whole lot of conditions that haven't been realized in the United States for a very long time. And the American companies go out of their way to try to create monopolies and use advertising to distort what's going on and to extend their reach, and it's all grotesque. We don't have free markets in the United States. I don't think they exist anywhere in the world. Certainly, if anyone wants to study Adam Smith, you'll see that the principles he laid down for free markets are not found in the United States. But you have a tremendous amount of government subsidy for business. Even think of the communities who want to give tax breaks to businesses to bring them to their communities. Well, that may sound just great, but it's a violation of free market capitalism. And the idea that, you know, government should be massive subsidies and you should have no-bid contracts, I can't imagine anything worse. I mean, the whole military-industrial complex is a veritable contradiction of the idea of free market capitalism. It's completely absurd. And in those rare cases when you actually have legitimate competition, like for these refueling tankers, and a consortium that includes European companies wins, then the Americans, such as Boeing, exert political pressure to have the whole business reconsidered so that their far inferior plane can claim the lion's share of the money that's going to be expended for projects like that. It's grotesque. It's grotesque and it's corrupt, and it's the United States today. Stand by. We'll be right back. Your host on the Dynamic Duo, Kevin Barrett, shows up here Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. At rally after rally, this is continuing the New York Times article, Mr. McCain denounces Mr. Obama for wanting to redistribute wealth, hitting especially hard on Mr. Obama's plan to give tax credits in the form of checks to some people who do not pay income tax. Mr. McCain, however, omits the fact that his own health care plan would do much the same thing, giving tax credits of $5,000 to families for health insurance, regardless of whether they pay income taxes. Darrell M. West, the director of governance studies at the Brookings Institute, a public policy research group, said, has observed that the biggest socialist right now is George W. Bush. A transcript of the encounter between Obama and the plumber from ABC News indicates that Mr. Obama used the phrase after Mr. Wurzelbach wondered if Mr. Obama might support a flat tax. Mr. Obama said he did not because he did not think it was fair for someone as well off as himself to pay the same tax rate as a waitress. My attitude is that the economy is good for folks from the bottom up. If the economy is good for folks from the bottom up, it's going to be good for everybody, Mr. Obama said, according to the transcript, adding that plumbers are better off when there are more customers who can afford to hire them. And right now, everybody's so pinched that business is bad for everybody, and I think when you spread the wealth around, it's good for everybody, Obama said. Who, when they think about it, could possibly deny that? It's so obvious, it's so plain, it's so blatant, it's so American to share the wealth, to help others when they're unable to help themselves. I mean, think about it. I'm convinced that Bush and Cheney are going to continue in power by the simple expedient of stealing the election using paperless electronic voting machines, which will precipitate widespread riots and police suppression, justifying Bush in suspending the Constitution and imposing martial law, leading to the continuation in office of guess who, Bush and Cheney. The evidence is growing and compelling, including that there's no reason for the police to be beefing up for riots unless they know that the election is going to be stolen and there will be public protests on a massive scale. It's really crucial that all Americans understand why the McCain campaign's focus on redistributing the wealth, a function of all governments in raising revenue through taxation and expending it on behalf of the people, and socialism, as if they were opposed to Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and unemployment insurance, for example, where McCain's own proposal to pay off mortgages is itself a massive wealth redistribution plan, and Palin's oil royalty payments to Alaskan citizens is what makes her the most socialistic governor in the nation. But those claims and the characterization of Obama as some kind of terrorist sympathizer, how absurd can this be, for alleged, this guy committed some terrorist acts when he was in a form of political protest when Obama was 8 years old. And they serve on a similar education board for the benefit of the community. We're sponsored by the Annenberg Foundation. This is about as completely absurd as it can get. This is not just guilt by association. This is a deliberate smear that's intended to be inflammatory. Characterizing Obama as some kind of terrorist sympathizer is creating a huge number of especially young citizens willing to attack those who protest the theft of the election by McCain. This is a very volatile mixture that's being concocted by these efforts. This is terrible. And I repeat to you, it's shaping up this way. The real scandal, Bob Herbert, New York Times, the real threat to democracy is the nonstop campaign by the GOP and its supporters to disenfranchise American citizens who have every right to cast a ballot. Rolling Stone, it's already stolen. Bobby Kennedy and Greg Palast, according to an investigation out today in Rolling Stone, after a year-long investigation, a systematic program of GOP vote tampering on a massive scale, and they've already decided McCain's going to win by 51.3%. Early voters face intimidation, machine malfunction, Amy Goodman. Early voting has begun. Problems are already emerging in West Virginia using touch screen machines. Claim their votes were switched from Democrat to Republican. North Carolina, a group of McCain reporters heckled a group of mostly black supporters. In Ohio, Republicans are being accused of trying to scare newly registered voters by filing lawsuits that question their eligibility. Please prepare for post-election unrest. Police departments in cities across the country are beefing up their ranks for Election Day, preparing for possible civil unrest and riots after the historic presidential contest. Why in the world should they be doing that? Public safety officials said in interviews with The Hill that the election, which will end with either the nation's first black president or its first female vice president, demanded a stronger police presence. See, just by having them there, they intimidate voters. Wealth gap created a social time bomb. from The Guardian, growing inequality in U.S. citizens could lead to widespread social unrest and increased mortality. A new U.N. study reports that the U.N. is reporting that the United States is operating at a level of Kenya and the Ivory Coast. How disgusting is this? Make-believe maverick. A closer look at the life and career of John McCain reveals a disturbing record of recklessness and dishonesty. What to expect when martial law is declared? You better Google that. We got a lot going on here. It's completely disgusting. It makes no sense at all. McCain's campaign on its face is ridiculous. This idea that redistributing wealth is a bad idea because Obama wants to cut taxes for 95% of the citizens. What could be a more meritorious thought than that, than giving a tax break to the middle class? And it's being attacked on the grounds of its wealth redistribution. Well, in the same breath, McCain is saying he wants to pay off the difference between the old bad mortgages and give new good new mortgages to taxpayers, which is a massive wealth redistribution program where Sarah Palin is the governor of the state of Alaska, which is a big, where they give out royalty checks to every citizen of Alaska every year. 2,000 in general, an additional bonus this year because the price of oil is so high, which makes her the biggest socialist governor in the country. George W. Bush presides over a $700 billion bailout of the banks and financial institutions, which makes him the biggest socialist in the country. I mean, get real, my friends. Get absolutely real. Get your head screwed on right. This is absurd. And what has to be going on here? Since the people who run these campaigns, Bush, Cheney, and others, are not morons, is they're deliberately being inflammatory. They're deliberately being provocative. They're deliberately stirring up antipathy, particularly toward Obama and blacks, as they plan to steal the election. The plans are already in place. They're already doing it. They are already stealing the election. What can be done? Get the spineless Democrats to take a stand. Impound these machines. If there's a complaint about a machine, have it impounded. Get it out of there. Go to paper ballots. Paper ballots are cheaper and more reliable and ensure democracy. You don't have to buy these machines that can be so easily hacked. The McCain strategy, which he may or may not fully appreciate, is to steal Pennsylvania because there are 50 counties in Pennsylvania that have paperless voting machines, 50 counties. Florida, they probably can't steal because Florida has gone back to paper ballots. There's a paper trail throughout Florida in every county, as I understand it. Stand by for my special guest, Bob Petraeus, and we'll pursue some of these issues. Jim Sefter, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest this hour is a former candidate for governor of Ohio. He is a distinguished investigative journalist. He's published more than 13 books and won what I'm sure more than 13 awards for his research. He's an expert on voter fraud, and he has published several books about it. His name is Bob Petraeus, and it's a great pleasure for me to welcome him back to the Dynamic Duo. Welcome back, Bob.
Oh, glad to be back, Jim.
I'll tell you, I've just been explaining the first hour why the evidence appears to me to be accumulating that there's a master plan in place to steal the election using these electronic voting machines by a narrow margin, but with the evidence, you know, the public evidence from the polls and so forth is so obvious that there are going to be massive public protests. They're going to crack down with police, that there's so many, they've done so much to incite negative attitudes on the other side with this ridiculous talk about socialism and terrorism and all that, that we're going to have huge public violence and so forth that justify Bush suspending the Constitution and imposing martial law. This is the recipe I foresee, Bob, and in support, I have been citing articles such as those by Bob Herbert, The Real Scandal, The real threat to democracy is the nonstop campaign by the GOP and its supporters to disenfranchise American citizens. Rolling Stone, it's already stolen by Bobby Kennedy and Greg Palast. Early voters face intimidation, machine malfunctions. Amy Goodman, early voting has become problems are already emerging at the polls. In West Virginia, voters using touchscreen machines have claimed their votes were squished. North Carolina, McCain supporters heckled a group of mostly black supporters of Obama. Please prepare for post-election unrest. The police departments in cities across the country are beefing up their ranks for Election Day, preparing for possible civil unrest and riots after the historic presidential contest. Bob, I can't see any reason they'd be preparing for riots unless they knew this, these elections are going to be stolen.
Well, you know, the reality is it looks like it's all melting down. And, you know, with this vote flipping in West Virginia and other states, you know, now being reported, you remember you had me on the show early on. And when I said this stuff early on, the mainstream for-profit media was attacking me. Now the vote flipping is being reported on CNN.
Yeah.
I mean, the agenda has been exposed. And it's real clear they plan to go through with this election theft. You know, and McCain will get his 51% or even less, but he'll win in a few key states. It looks like they're really setting up Pennsylvania for theft with their paperless DRE.
In 50 counties in Pennsylvania have paperless voting.
Right. And there's, you know, I mean, it violates every rule of democracy, every principle of transparency to allow private, for-profit, partisan corporations to secretly program the people's vote.
Shouldn't these machines be impounded as soon as you got a complaint about them, have them impounded, Bob?
If they steal this election, I hope the people take to the streets as they did in the Ukraine and take their democracy back.
I'll tell you, Bob, I think we've got this military force that was brought back from Iraq. I think he's going to unleash the military on the American people, and there's going to be a lot of blood in the streets.
Well, you know, I'm wondering which way those guns are going to be pointed, because many of those troops are black and Latino and working people, the same people that McCain, Bush, and their operatives like Michael Connell are disenfranchising. I mean, for God's sake, the Republican Party was caging black troops in Iraq, challenging their right to vote, and then saying, well, if you want to come back and prove you actually live here, see if your sergeant will send you back. I'm wondering which side the military is really going to be on.
Well, you know, I gather that like 5 out of 7 of the troops are supporting Obama over McCain.
And there's good reason for that. So, you know, I wouldn't be that confident if I was Bush. And if they blatantly steal this campaign, I'm betting on the American people.
God, Bob, we're going to have to do something about it. This is so outrageous. I mean, you know, they're trying to undermine the polls. The polls are so uniformly favorable to Obama, and his lead is clearly growing, that today I was shocked to see in the Wisconsin State Journal the following article: McCain draws even in poll, Washington. There's no date on this. The presidential race tightened after the final debate, with John McCain gaining among whites and people earning less than $50,000, according to an Associated Press GFK, and I have no idea who they are, poll that shows McCain and Barack Obama essentially running even among likely voters in the election home stretch. The poll found Obama at 44% and McCain at 43% after the third debate, as GOP-leaning voters drifted home to their party, and McCain's Joe the Plumber analogy seemed to strike a chord. That's all absurd, Bob. It didn't happen at all.
Well, but you know what that happened in? That's a likely voter poll. But the reality is, it's not likely voters. Obama has brought in 700,000 new voters. 700,000 new voters in Ohio.
Alone.
And 600,000 of them are voting for Obama.
Well, the fact is, you know, they had a focus group on CNN right after, well, on MSNBC, talking about this Joe the Plumber, and they had a dozen people there, and they were asked, how did that go over, a thumbs up or a thumbs down? And every one of them gave a thumbs down.
And he's not even a plumber.
And he's not even a plumber. His name isn't even Joe. It's Sam, and he isn't buying the company. The company isn't for sale. He only makes about 40 grand a year. He's a Republican registered. He's not an independent. The whole thing was a setup. He was a plant.
Sure he was. He was an absolute plant.
And look at McCain. 29 times he uses the name of Joe the plumber.
Well, the whole thing there is Karl Rove and his minions, his operatives, need a narrative. Like, why did, McCain squeak by? And they don't want to go with the obvious, which is because your people control the hardware and the software and get to secretly set the codes on the central tabulators and on the software in the machines.
Yeah.
So that's what they don't want to deal with. So they come up with these, oh, it was Joe the plumber. It's not. If McCain wins this election, he wins it because they stole it. They cheated.
Yeah, that's right. If McCain wins this, I mean, I've never seen a worse-run campaign in my lifetime. I doubt there's been one in American history. And the political environment for Republicans is absolutely toxic. There's no reason in the world why McCain should be able to pull it off. It's ridiculous.
Oh, couldn't agree with you more, but I think it's actually positive for us to have the exposure on the mainstream media of what they used to do secretly. These are CIA style coups. This is what this government had been doing secretly, really the Bush family in the Third World for long periods of time. And now they've brought this home. And they think they can openly intimidate the American people. So it's really going to be a test of our wills, whether or not we're worthy of a constitutional republic, whether or not we're worthy of democracy. And, I think the American people aren't going to stand it. All over Ohio, I've never seen anything like it. Small towns that where you could never find a Democrat, you've got people energized. Because of the economic meltdown.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Bob Petrakis. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo.
Radio. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the line of a dark black night.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch Kevin here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest today, Bob Petrakis, is a distinguished investigative journalist and an expert on election fraud and the use of electronic voting machines. It's so obvious, Bob, already, you know, exactly what they're doing. And as you say, thank God it's being published by the mainstream press. I mean, that is a huge difference from the past.
Yeah, and, I was watching CNN today, and what I was called a kook for in 2004 is now being routinely reported on CNN. So that is a plus. Now, the negative side of that, what are we going to do? Now that we know that these machines are rigged, much like a rigged casino, what are we as a people going to do? Are we going to tolerate this? There's still time to fix it. You know, those machines need to be impounded as a crime scene, and we need to bring in forensic computer experts, and people need to start doing jail time immediately.
That's right. I agree completely. I mean, it's always been obvious to anyone who knew the least about computers how easily they could be rigged. I mean, there's nothing proprietary about a program that takes a number and adds one to it to produce a new number n prime for each successive voter who casts a vote for a candidate. The only reason there'd be anything proprietary about it or why you'd want to keep it hidden from public inspection is because there's some surreptitious rerouting of votes being cast there so that, you know, either the guy who's going to get the most votes is having his votes shifted to the other guy or some other kind of redistribution. You've seen them all.
Oh, sure. And here's something you need to ask yourself, Jim, since you know this area and artificial intelligence and how computers work. Why would a machine, a e-voting machine, go backwards? Why, if no candidate can get less than zero votes, why would you allow these machines to go back millions of votes, tens of thousands of votes? I mean, they're not central tabulators, they're machines. Why would you allow, as in Mahoney County, where we found a machine in 2004 with minus 21 million votes on it, or the 16,000 votes subtracted from Al Gore in the year 2000? Why would you need 2.5 million lines of code when programmers say they can write this in 1,500 to 2,000 lines?
Or fewer. I mean, these are really relatively simple. Routines about as simple as they get, frankly. So the whole thing is completely ridiculous, Bob. And I think that these companies that manufacture these machines that have been stealing our legacy, stealing our birthright, destroying our democracy, deserve to pay a penalty. All these machines should be impounded. Make all their investment in these mechanisms of theft become useless relics and let them pay the price for their fraud and betrayal of the principles upon which this country was founded.
Yeah, and the implications by stealing the election in 2000, by bringing, you know, the Bush campaign in Karl Rove, by bringing the CIA tactics perfected by his father in the Third World home to the United States, look what they've cost the world. There's more than a million dead Iraqi citizens, according to John Hopkins Medical School. You know, there's well over 4,000 American soldiers dead, lives shattered. The world is in a state of turmoil, and a few people are getting rich off this. Dick Cheney's, company, Halliburton. But look what it's done to the world by allowing them to rig elections, because that's what they're doing. They keep saying, Jim, to look at voter fraud. Voter fraud is minimal. They're using Acorn because they register poor people and working people to vote as the problem.
Bob, stop. Let's just make this terminological point. Voter fraud versus election fraud. Completely different. Completely different. Proceed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Voter fraud is what the Republicans try to get you to focus on while their private technicians are stealing the election. That's election fraud or election rigging. That's the real problem. But they want you to focus on this notion that maybe somebody named Mickey Mouse registered to vote. But what do you think happens when Mickey Mouse shows up at the polls? Do you think they're really going to let Mickey Mouse vote, even if he's got the big ears and the ID?
Yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, you know, unless there's a real voter, you're not going to have any kind of voter fraud taking place. And these are just names that those who are out registering voters are using in order to get more money because they're being paid on a per registrant basis. So they're just making them up.
Oh,
I mean, this is
actually,
this is
I looked this up. The Republicans claim they were being paid per registration. Acorn actually pays these people $8 an hour. Now, there's certain people that a small group that goes around and might fill out some cards because they don't want to go out and actually do work and be fired. But Acorn is primarily in trouble, not because it's trying to commit voter registration fraud, not voter fraud, but voter registration fraud, but because they supplied what they thought were the bad registration cards. Now, think about this, Jim. You go out, you get turned in these voter registration cards. You're now in a bad situation. If you destroy them, you have destroyed public records, voter records, which is a felony. And if somebody does have a strange name, they can sue you. So what ACORN has done, because we've advised groups that register to vote here in Ohio, is to earmark the ones you think are bad and bring them to the attention of the voting officials. So essentially they're being punished based on what they told the election officials to check out as suspect in their own internal procedure. So it's a classic catch-22. If they don't turn them in and they destroy them, they can be indicted for public records destruction and essentially voter fraud or destruction of voter registration cards. If they turn them in, they get prosecuted by the Bush-McCain police and prosecutors.
Yeah, disgusting.
Yeah, and it's set up this way. They just
And ACORN is a public service organization, for God's sake. What could be more worthy goal than to get more Americans registered to vote?
Yeah, 1.3 million people.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Bob Vitrakis. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest, Bob Vitrakis, and I have been discussing why it looks as though Bush, Cheney, and Rove are going to attempt to continue in power by the simple expedient of stealing the election using paperless electronic voting machines, which will precipitate widespread riots and police suppression, justifying Bush and the suspension of the Constitution and imposing martial law, leading to the continuation in office of, guess who, Bush and Cheney, where the evidence is growing and compelling that they're going forward with their method of stealing the election using these voting machines. We have article after article appearing now, even including one in the Rolling Stone, It's Already Stolen, by Bobby Kennedy and Greg Ballast, explaining how the plan is in place, and the plan is being exercised, and remarkably, as Bob Vitrakis is observing, it's even being reported on television in the mainstream media.
Yeah, and as part of their campaign as well, and I do mean Bush, McCain, Rove, who's now working for the McCain campaign, and his operatives like Michael Connell, who have been loyal to the Bush family. Here in Ohio, the Secretary of State has been receiving death threats because she won't purge voters.
Yeah.
Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to say, if my name's Robert Vitrakis, but it's listed and Social Security is Robert J. Vitrakis, even though I have the same Social Security number, same date of birth, they want
same
me
address.
Purged. Yeah, they want me purged because of a typo or because I didn't use my middle initial. And the Secretary of State, who's not going along with this, Jennifer Bruner, received a package with powder in it and death threats, and now they're assaulting her website, trying to destroy the database. This we've seen before. This is how sovereign nations were undermined in the Third World when George Herbert Walker Bush, the president's father, was the director of the CIA.
Yeah, the son may now think he's, you know, outdoing the father because he's using those techniques right here on the in the good old USA.
Sure.
Just as he thought by going to Baghdad he was doing better, you know, one-upping his father.
Well, you know, you got that dry drunk syndrome, and you know, someone that wants to, the prodigal son who wants to impress his father, you're going to get these extreme tactics. And quite frankly, Dick Cheney believes in all these tactics, you know, whether it's, you know, the whole theory of a unitary kind of executive branch or presidency that can, in fact, do whatever it's want. These people have no respect for the U.S. Constitution. They violate the Fourth Amendment and then say after the fact, give immunity to all the telecom companies we coerced. They torture people. They hijack whole nations. And it's all about power. And they're not going down without a fight. But their first option is to steal. What they're also doing, they're kleptomaniacs. It's a kleptocracy, for God's sake. And what they also want to do is they want to do it blatantly enough to provoke reaction. They want it right in your face. In Greene County, 304 college students here in Ohio were targeted by the sheriff, where two historically black colleges are, Wilberforce and Central State. Prosecutors are now going after criminally people in Acorn, in other groups that registered people to vote from home. They've gone after the NAACP with a RICO suit after the 04 election. This is a full court press to get ordinary people to back up, to essentially impose power on them and get them to accept the fact that we openly steal elections in this country.
That's truly disgusting, Bob. I mean, all those efforts should be directed in the, you know, in the opposite way to safeguard all the good work by the NAACP and ACORN and all these other organizations are acting in the public interest.
Well, you know, I mean, here's the reality. We have a high-tech Jim Crow system of registration. We should have a right to vote. We should get a voting card when we turn of age. It should have a unique identifier, not our Social Security number, and that's our voting card. We can't leave it up to 50 different states, 88 different counties in Ohio, and God knows how many poll workers, each with a different interpretation of the law, and then leave it up to private computer people who are controlling the electronic voting registration list. And then you show up at the poll and you've been purged and you didn't even know you were purged.
Well, I think that all this early voting is having several benefits. I mean, it's getting an awful lot of people there on paper ballots. I myself voted yesterday on a paper ballot in this little town where I reside. But it's also, you know, exposing all this chicanery and getting a lot of public attention where there's ample time to take steps to do something about it. I mean, Obama has to be aware that this is taking place, and surely he has the money, the resources to send teams of attorneys all over these states to impound these machines.
Well, they really need more than, yeah, to impound these machines. Criminal complaints. If you're a voter, here's a couple things. Bring your cell phone if it takes a picture. Record. If it hops, record it. Because that's the proof we're going to need. Or swear out an affidavit. Make a criminal complaint to the police.
Yeah.
They can't later deny it, because what they do is simply deny it. These poll workers, oh, there's no problem. They don't want to admit the whole system's melting down. In Mahoning County, where Youngstown is, 31 machines were hopping in 2004 when Kerry barely lost the state of Ohio. Is that you should try desperately to vote on paper to get an absentee ballot and hand deliver it, or go in the states that allow early voting on paper and vote on paper. Here in Ohio, 25% of the people to poll have the right. It should be 100% to vote on paper.
Bob, is the two states that they're going to try to steal, at least the two most obvious states, are Pennsylvania and Colorado.
And, again, what do they have in common, particularly Pennsylvania? The paperless DREs, there's no way to recount. You just send your little computer tech in, your partisan computer tech, and he hacks the vote.
Bob, how can that even be constitutional? If you can't have a recount, how can you resolve a contested election?
Well, you know, I live in Ohio. That's a great point, is that I live in Ohio, and you no longer, the Republican Party passed a law you no longer can challenge a federal election under Ohio law. No Ohio court will hear it. In 2004, I was one of the four attorneys that brought suit to challenge the 04 election. I can't do that now. There is no way to challenge the presidential election or a senatorial or U.S. Congress election in Ohio. It is illegal. They made it illegal.
How corrupt can you get, Bob? I mean, these Republicans are disgraceful. No, they no shame.
Well, no, I think you've answered it. They don't. It's really about power. It's really a specific wing of the Republican Party. These neocons believe that it's their ideological calling to control the world, and that they believe that they have a right to say whatever they want, do whatever they can, and use the U.S. military not to defend the United States, but to change regimes and put people in that are friendly to their interests. And they also think they have a right to rip everybody off and make huge war profits. Anyone who challenges them, they'll do what's ever necessary. But the good thing for most of us is they have virtually no backing among the population. They can't even get much backing outside of the far right neocons in their own party.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Bob Petrakis. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, Jude. Don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch Kevin here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. We're concluding a conversation with Bob Petrakis, a distinguished investigative journalist who's an expert on election fraud, especially in Ohio, where he once ran for governor. Bob, the Obama campaign surely can take steps to thwart this effort to defeat democracy, can they not?
Yes, and the question is, they're well aware of what's going on, as is Jennifer Bruner here in Ohio. The studies, Secretary of State Bowen's study in California, the Everest study in Ohio, the report by the General Accountability Office, Princeton, Stanford, Johns Hopkins, even the references in the Carter-Baker Commission as to the dangers of letting private insiders program your computer secretly.
Well, it's absurd. I mean, with Stalin observed, Bob, that it doesn't matter who casts the votes. What matters is who counts them.
Well, you know, and the best way to count them is on a rigged computer.
What could be simpler?
Yeah, black box, non-transparent. You push, and then the election troll comes out at the air and tells you who won.
Bob, we have a caller from Canada. Aaron from Canada. Aaron, you're on the air.
Yes, I know we don't have a lot of time. I'll be concise. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. I'd like to give out a website, McCainattacks.blogspot.com. We have just uncovered affiliation with the McCain campaign, having been attacked on a Northwest Airlines flight 3 years prior, put through a covert mechanism of judicial persecution, FBI in the jury pool and whatnot and so forth. And now kidnapping attempts and murder attempts ongoing against us. Speaking of the death threats you're referring to as well, we received them from FBI citing John McCain in an email. The link and the website material is on that page. It was from FBI agent Stephen Davis. Now, they had me interrogated trying to link me to Al-Qaeda jihad. I was left in a pool of blood in the aircraft. The pictures are there. We couldn't figure out why are they trying to kidnap us. Yes, there was a cover-up because I had family and witness, but so many attempts upon our lives, we didn't understand what was going on. Finally, that email exposed half of the fake picture, and Northwest Airlines' affiliation with McCain has exposed the other half of the picture. Well, but
just to slow down ever so briefly, what then is the picture?
Northwest Airlines was in bankruptcy protection at the time. Currently, they're in a delicate merger with Delta Airlines.
Yes.
McCain has his primary two clientele within his legal counsel, Northwest Air and U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, and are you opposed to this merger or opposing McCain?
No.
Or
No, we've been attacked. We were attacked on a Northwest Airlines flight.
On the flight?
Yes. I was left in the pool butt in the middle of the aisle. And there were FBI, NSA,
You were physically attacked aboard a Northwest Airlines flight?
In a pool of blood. That's right. And the media didn't, you don't know about it because the media censored it from you. Like they're so good at it. 3 years ago now, there were
the reason you were attacked was because?
My mother was accused of harboring a suspicious bag 3 days after we made a complaint about our baggage being seized, locks cut and searched, and wrote an official written complaint.
Okay, and your website again is?
Is McCainattacks.blogspot.com.
McCainattacks.blogspot.com.
And the attacks is plural with an S, correct? And
okay.
The airline is an FBI affiliate. They have a 72-hour waiting list being called Ask Big Brother Before You Fly because Northwest saves 6,000 CDs of information of PNRs, millions of people's information to the FBI.
Aaron, listen, I'm sorry, as you observed, we were so tight now, but listen, maybe you can call me back again, okay? And in meanwhile, everyone now has your website, McCainattacks.blogspot.com, so anyone who is interested in following this up can pursue it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. Bob.
Yes.
Give us a summary overview of the situation as you see it. What the average American can do to help this salvage democracy in this once great nation?
Well, get out early and vote. That way you get to vote on paper. You're not reliant on the faith-based voting, these push-and-pray DREs that are hackable, vulnerable, riggable. Again, do not allow the election to be stolen. Immediately report to the police if you push a machine for one candidate and it flips to the other. Make a police report. Take your cell phone to the poll and record the flip. Vote early and vote on paper if you can. Or get an absentee in some states and walk it in, is that if you give them any opportunity, come out in record number, they will steal it. And if they do steal it, take to the streets as the people of the Ukraine did in the Orange Revolution, and there really needs to be a general strike.
Bob, let's talk about this just a bit more. See, my thought is that if there are anything like riots, any form of violence, they're going to crack down with, you know, a massive police force and military force, and that should be avoided if at all possible. And therefore, the more appropriate response is just maybe cease activity. You know, don't go to work, don't go shopping, don't leave your house. I mean, shut down the country.
Well, I think, you know, there's got to be a lot showing outside, but if we see the police attacks, which it looks like they're preparing for, or they call in the military, then I think we've got to decentralize not participate in the system, which is on the verge of collapse anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if everyone ceased going to work, you know, ceased shopping and all that, very rapidly you'd see the corporations just yelling and screaming to get the government off the back of the people. It seems to me that's the way it can happen, especially when the economy is in such precarious state.
And especially since Thanksgiving's coming up close after the election and Christmas.
Yeah.
It'd be very easy to grind the system to the halt.
Yeah.
If they steal this election.
Yeah. Yeah.
Save a lot of money doing it.
remember what we were told, the sacrifice we were asked to make by the president after 9/11? He said, shop. Go shopping. And I say the resolution then to this kind of abuse is to stop shopping, cease shopping. Don't spend your money. Don't spend your money at all. Conserve as much as you can. Hoard it. Stay home. Don't go to work. Don't go to school. Shut it down.
That.
Shut down the whole country.
I'm with you there because You know, they want to provoke people into violence.
Right.
In the same way they've tried to provoke Barack during this campaign.
Right.
You know, they want people fighting for democracy to look angry and mad. And, you know, they spent all this time, you know, trying to resurrect notions of terrorism when the real terrorists have looted this country.
That's right.
Violated international law.
That's right.
Constitution and hijacked the country of Iraq. Those are the real terrorists.
Or some of the first officials of the Bush administration who left as an act of conscience said that it was unbelievable, that there was no policy, it was all politics, and what they were doing to the country could only be described as looting.
Well, and you've seen it. Now, they looted it, and now, while they accuse Barack of sharing the wealth, they don't share the wealth. They loot the wealth, $700 billion worth, and give it to the people that destroyed the banking system. I mean, talk about lemon socialism. It's like, you know, they believe in socialism, but just for their friends.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, not only is Bush the greatest socialist president we've ever had by giving the $700 billion to bail out the banks and the financial institutions, McCain wants to pay off all these mortgages, which is another redistribution of the wealth, and Palin is the most socialistic governor because she's giving these huge oil revenues to the people. I mean, I might agree with all that, but the point is it ridicules their complaints about redistributing the wealth and socialism. I mean, they have to come out against Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment insurance, and a host of other programs that make capitalism remotely tolerable for the average citizen in this country.
I hear you.
Bob, I can't thank you enough. Keep up your great work, my friend. You're a champion for us all.
All right,
I want everyone to think about what you've heard today. We will never have a more important broadcast, more important discussion than you heard tonight on The Dynamic Duo. Thank you all for listening.